Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 510. It's the weekend podcast. We haven't done one for, what, a couple of weeks? I've been on holiday. And so, hello, Pete. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, if you've only tuned into this for the first time, not you, Pete and Steve, even though Steve does. Steve never listens anyway, but there we are. Then Pete and Steve are friends of mine. I don't know if we are anymore because of the Brexit vote, but they used to be. But they're still in the podcast with me. And it's different from the weekday. The weekday, I talk to, you know, companies and commentators. But these are commentators of a sort. And so, lads, we've had the vote. First of all, let's just be honest and say where we voted. Steve?
I voted Remain.
Peter?
Remain.
Me too.
No, you don't. You lie. You see, that's the problem. All you Leavers, you're all liars.
Do you know what? No, listen, it's an honest-to-God fact. You know, I've been Leave quite a lot, but I've been doing more and more research on it. And part of me thought, even though it's not a particularly good project, the EU, it's very flawed, it's very expensive, it's very inefficient. Yep. I thought there are benefits to some people, parts of this country, and all that. And I thought, maybe, do you know what? Okay, it's not the best thing, but maybe just stick with it, you know, and see if we can change it. And then what threw me, honestly, was David Cameron talking about Turkey. Saying that there's no chance we're going to admit Turkey. There was no discussions on the table for Turkey to join. No. And then the Turkish foreign minister, you know, done a video saying, "I'm flabbergasted. David Cameron is our biggest supporter. He wants us to join. There's discussions on the table for the 30th of June." And I thought, what? And I thought, what's going on? And this is from a genuine source. I thought, someone's lying here. And I think, is David Cameron lying to us? That's what I thought, and then all of a sudden, all of the reasons, you know, about us spending $10 billion a year net, and seeing that Brexit, the movie, where a huge amount of money is spent on MEPs and their assistants, and everything they want, they've got their own shops and all that, and I thought it's a huge waste of money, and I'm sure, you know, if there are people who need the money in this country, I'm sure what we need to do, people who need the money in this country, they've got money from the EU, because it's not as much as we gave them anyway. So we can sort that out, surely. I mean, you can lobby the government and say, you need to give help now to farmers or whatever, or, you know, poorer parts of society.
Yeah. But that's my whole problem with this, the whole argument on that is, if that, all of that stuff you're talking will actually happen, you see, and that's the problem, and that's the reason I voted Remain, because it's, and Farage has already come out, and he agrees that 350 million figure to the NHS is probably a load of old baloney, that probably isn't going to happen. Of course it's not, and there's no guarantee, and that's my, and I totally agree with you, the EU is flawed, it was a great dream, but it just hasn't worked out, it's not great, there's loads of inefficiency, the Brexit, the movie, absolutely, some of those figures were probably wrong, but whatever, it's inefficient, rubbish, terrible. Do we want to be part of it? No, not really. But what's the alternative? And here we are in the alternative. And already you're going, really? What's going to happen?
Quite how is scary, it
going to pan out?
Really,
it is. Well, how is it going to pan out? And that has been my reason. 2 weeks ago, I was fully out. I was like, yeah, okay, perhaps it is best out. But then I thought, no, it's not. You're going from one flawed dream to another flawed dream. But this second flawed dream, we don't even know what it's going to look like. So,
but then again, we crazy. Are the creators. Well, hang on a sec. We are the creators of our future.
Yeah,
I don't. But hang on a sec. I don't believe in my heart of hearts that politicians in this country will leave, you know, people, you know, communities in need and desperate and isolated, you know.
They won't want to, but there may come a time when they have to.
Why?
Because the way
you say we're saving 10 billion a year.
No, but yeah, but that's a ridiculous thing to cling to, because at the same time, all the big businesses that have threatened this whole campaign that, you know, it's a bad thing to leave, then that's just not an idle, they're not idle threats.
Companies
will relocate, big businesses
hang on a sec. There have been industries strangulated by the EU that have also decimated communities, you know, and that wouldn't have happened if the EU wasn't there. So there's like people like Tate and Lyle, like JCB, the fishing industry. They were fine until the EU came along.
Okay, sure. But then it's going to be a numbers game, isn't it? How many of them compared to how many will then
And that's why, do you know why humans are the most successful evolutionary creature in the world?
Because we're idiots.
No, because we adapt. And not only adapt, we strive in different environments. The status quo you're never going to, you know, thrive in status quo.
That's the other argument. Why test that, though? Oh, that's what I don't get. People
because
go,
you know what?
Oh, if we're resilient, we'll do okay, we'll be fine. Yeah, okay, but why do we need to test that?
You have to. It's like, why test our world record? Why try anything? Why challenge anything? Because if we stay still and stagnate, we die. That's why.
I'm happy to test a world record.
No, that's how many
eggs I can eat in one day.
No, it's a survival of fitness. Like, when a herd runs somewhere, right, the weakest get taken out. And that's it. That makes a herd stronger, though. And you have to do that. And that's what I'm saying. If you stagnate, we will die and survive. Okay. The whole thing will collapse.
But
that's why we have to move on and, you know, regenerate to some extent.
Yeah, potentially. I don't know.
No, but it's not theory. Are you denying the theory of evolution? Because that's what it's born from. From the basic genes and cells of our bodies. That's what we do. We regenerate. So your broken leg, the part where it breaks is stronger. Okay. That's the whole thing.
Have you not learned not to fight back?
I know.
You see it as flight and fancy. But this is the basics, you know, of any biology, of technologies.
You're going mental now. The problem with the Leave campaign is full of people like you who are kind of over-opinionated, aggressive at the top there, chatting away, and then tons of people that I don't know if they've really understand what they voted for.
Mm.
Literally, tons of people have kind of gone, yeah, immigration, yeah, well, yeah, no, let's leave. Now, hold on. The stark, horrible, cold light of day now, they're going, yeah, oh, right, so we lose all our funding? Oh, right, you know, in poor areas or whatever. I don't know. Maybe it'll turn out well, but
it's happened now, and it's depressing watching all the Facebook feeds and watching the news, but there's nothing you can do about it now. It's just a case of sit back and let's hope that something good comes out of it, isn't it?
Yeah, and I want Justin to highlight in the next 5 years, you know, when it happens, you'll be able to go, hey, guys, you see? This good thing that's happened, that wouldn't have happened under the old regime or whatever, you know. So I'm looking forward to those moments.
Yeah,
I'm
not sure they'll come. This is what I'll say, right? I don't think... We're looking at black and white here, right?
Racist?
And, yeah. Well, we're saying it's either this or that, right?
Right.
Now, when it comes down to it, basic logic, people need to do business. They need to make money, right?
Mm.
So that's the priority, first and foremost. And, you know, like I said before, Europe... of all places, need, you know, growth. They need it. They need business transactions going on. They're not going to try and cut this off. We have a huge amount of money here. We take a lot of, you know, we buy a lot of things from Europe.
Mm.
They buy a lot of things from us. Now, to get in the way of that would be financial suicide, you know? So I don't think it's the be all in or everything stopped now. No, don't people need to do business? They have to do business to survive. So, it's, you know, let's just think along those lines.
Don't you think there's a really good chance that big business now will move into Europe, will move out of the UK, which have a massive impact on our employment here? Like for every one city job, there's 10 jobs or something that rely on it in the UK or something like that. But, you know,
is that a made up stat?
No, it's not. It's something like that. It's some kind of crazy, because like the city being such a sort of central kind of pivot to the whole economy. And if Morgan Stanley already said that 2,000 people are off to Dublin or whatever, you know, yeah. Okay, so how does that going to impact and that, the knock-on effects in the coming years?
Yeah, but there are jobs being created every day. There are jobs being lost every day, you know? Obviously, we have to look at the net gain or loss of that. But, you know, it's like if I tell you, you know, every second year, you know, you're losing 6,000 blood cells dying in your body. You think, really? Yeah, but you're creating 10,000, it's fine. I mean, you know, things, this is the way it works.
Yeah, but
if it's
the other way around, then you're in trouble, aren't you?
But surely this is evolution. All of it's evolution.
Might be, might not be.
This is the way, but hang on.
It's regression.
What we're doing, no, it's not.
Might
what we're
be.
Doing is criticising a system we've set up, right? Now, we can't do that. You can't just say, set up a system, say, this is the fairest way of doing it, and now let's criticise it. Oh, it's all wrong. That's the way the system is, you know? And that's the way it is. I mean, someone going back now, we can't, like Steve said there, this is the way it is.
No, totally. You can't change it. And that's democracy, so we've got to,
So what we do is improve it as we go along. We evolve. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not guaranteed it's going to improve. What I was saying is it might get worse, but, you know, we've got to deal with that now. There's nothing we can do about it, is it?
Absolutely, yeah. The horse is bolted or something.
Yeah, but that's the attitude. See, we'll make it improve. We've got to get on and do it.
Yeah.
You know? When people, like, literally, you know, after the 1929 financial crash and they were scripting around for jobs and all that, they didn't just all say, let's give up, that's it, now it's done. Because that's hell in a handcart, you know, when everyone thought it was going there. But yet, America went on to prosper beyond its wildest dreams. And there's no reason why, you know, at the moment we're in, like, it's almost, you know, voters' guilt, where people are worried. But, you know, there's no reason why, and you may say it's dream, yeah, but there's no reason why we can't be more prosperous than they ever have been 10 years down the line.
But what's to stop now us sinking into recession?
Well, nothing.
No, so we will go into recession.
Right, I tell you what, shall I? I'll tell you what will stop saying it. Because nobody wants to go into recession.
Yeah, but in order to do that, people have to be prosperous and be spending money.
No, what I'm saying is central banks, industry, business, people, the entire force of this country, of this planet, wants to avoid recession. And so we may dip in and out, but I don't think we'll have a massive grind recession. Why? Why will industry stop now? It won't. There'll be a couple of, you know, talks about trade deals and all this stuff, but industry won't grind to a halt. Why should it?
Right, I'm just making a note of that. 24th of June, Justin said we won't go into recession.
No, I said we may go into recession.
Oh, we might go into recession. Justin said we may.
But let's be honest.
Are you sitting on the fence now?
No, but what I'm saying is, you know, recession is a technical term of two quarters in contraction. That doesn't mean everyone's on the dole losing their jobs. It means there's a slowdown, and because of that, people look for efficiencies. Some of the best businesses were created in recessions because they had to find a different way. You know, it's like water, it finds a way. And sometimes the best way, the best route is normally, you know, you find in difficult situations. And you've got with new invent. When things are easy, you know, you're never inventive or creative. When things are hard, you have to be inventive and creative. I believe, you know, in the creativity of humans. And I think you can with the will is a way. And you may think that's like fantastical, hot air, nonsense, fairy dust.
Correct.
But no, it's not. Some of the best ever businesses and inventions were created at hard times.
Yeah.
You know?
And some of the worst.
And no, you need a challenge to push you forward.
Yeah.
If you, it's like any.
I don't get why we're testing that.
A nice.
I don't understand.
Peter, you're not stupid. Surely you've got to test it. You don't get anywhere unless you challenge yourself. You don't get anywhere at all.
Yeah, if is the risk worth it?
It's like, you know, you have to go to the comfort zone to know where your comfort zone is.
Yeah, and here we are.
Well, exactly. And now people are starting thinking, right, what can we do? And it gets you on fire. Your nerve endings are worried. When you're worried, adrenaline's pumping, you start thinking properly, you start doing stuff.
Okay, but then what I would say...
What do you get? When you get a sock... What I hate is when you get people, right, set for life in a job, set for life, you get the most inefficient, lazy sods creating nothing, just taking up a bit of protectionism, which is like Europe. They sort of protect what they've got, right? Not improve it in any way, just protect it and hold on to it. And you know, it's the worst ever. We never evolve in that situation.
Okay. All right, let's bring it right down to just the three of us here. How are we going to benefit in the next 5 years? How are our lives going to benefit now that we're not in the EU?
That's like saying, how are we not going to benefit?
It is. But when you stick with what you've got, you're on the same course.
You're asking me,
nothing's going to change. You're saying things are going to change. We're going to innovate. Okay, great. And then how is that going to affect me, you, and Steve here?
You're asking me to tell you the future. You're asking me to say, what am I going to get for Christmas?
But surely, if you can't answer or at least give some sort of answer to that question, why have you voted Leave?
I voted Leave because essentially I object to the amount of money we give to the EU.
We do get
any benefit at all. I mean, there are parts of our community, of course, that get money from the EU.
But why are our lives going to be improved by leaving?
Because we spend less money.
We'll lose money elsewhere.
No, because we can bring down regulation. We can bring in all kinds of
But how does that affect me, you, and Steve? No, I'm being serious. I am being serious. That's the point, and that's my opinion to everyone. Well, unless you can answer that question really convincingly, I don't think you should have voted Leave. But anyways, the horse has bolted, so there we are.
I don't understand how. Me, you, and Steve. How does it affect us staying in?
Well, no, we know where we are, or we knew where we were. earlier this week, and you're on a course, and you're part of a very rubbish, inefficient, over-bureaucratic, undemocratic, blah, 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 rubbish system. But at least we know what that system is and we're part of it.
That's it. You see, do you know what? And this is, like I said, back to cliches. Fortune favours the brave. People who actually make a success in life.
Yeah, but we're not talking about climbing Everest.
I'm talking about people who started their own business. Steve's a good example. Started his own business there. Steve, are you quite happy doing what you're doing, isn't he, there?
Yeah.
Are you doing well there?
Yeah, but what's that got to do with anything?
What I'm saying is you took a risk by going on your own, starting your own business. That's what I'm talking about, Pete. Not people being safe, because we knew where we were safe. Taking a little risk and going for it is what creates value and in jobs in this society, it does.
For some.
Steve has more self-worth now than he ever did. Then we had to go and work 9 to 5, and with someone telling him exactly what to do all the time. He had to be in an office from 9 to 5, where, okay, steady wage, employed, but you know what? He's his own boss now.
Yeah, but not everyone works like that, though, and I think the majority of people won't work like that, though, or think like that.
But that doesn't... And that, no doubt, there'll be people... I mean, already, on Thursday night, there will have been foreign exchange traders that will have made fortunes on this whole setup because of the way they gambled with their currency. Well done then. So it's fortune favours the brave. Yeah, absolutely. But equally, tons of people will have lost out on that. And that's what my whole point going forward. How do we, as individuals, as man on the street, how do you actually benefit from what's happened? And I just don't see that. I don't see how.
Well, that's the thing.
Potentially, you might be able to benefit, but not.
I can't think of the book title. But there'll be several. No, there's several people now who are scared, right, at the prospects of going forward. And they think, what about their business and all that stuff? But there'll be several people in the same boat as that who will be doing a lot better and didn't expect it to happen at all as a result. Opportunities come. They don't flag themselves up, Pete, saying, oh, here's loads of opportunities coming this way. You've got to grab it and take it. And that's what happens. That is what happens. You've got to take a risk and go for it, You can't just... I mean, I can't tell you the future.
No. But so that's kind of just nuts, isn't it? The way... But anyway, okay. That's exciting.
I did vote Remain anyway.
Did you? I don't think you did.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Did you see the old thing about the pens and the pencils?
Yes.
How insane was that? What worries me is that people were given the vote and they were tweeting this out and spreading it around saying, take a pen, not a pencil. And I thought, why do we need a pen? I said, well, some say it's easy to rub out.
I'd love to have seen as they were counting them, rubbing them out and putting new crosses.
I said, you understand the logistics? Yeah. They have a certain amount of time. Their ballots are all closed every 10 o'clock. A couple of old ladies with rubbers going like crazy, thousands of ballot papers and crossing. And I said, it's an obvious trail to find that, Yeah. If you're looking for a fraud, you say, well, that's odd, 6,000 ballot papers are all rubbed out and have crossed. There's easier ways to defraud the system than that. They just photocopy every ballot paper and just fill them in themselves. Easy.
Well, we just burn all the ones that you don't. That's quicker, isn't it? But the number of people that would have had to have been involved in the whole big rubbing out exercise. thousands of people rubbing out. I know.
Yeah. We need more rubbers. Quick. Look at the local shop. Yes, three old ladies bought my entire stock of rubbers. Yeah.
The rubber industry is thriving after last night.
Exactly. I've bought shares in a rubber company.
This is what I think is going to happen, though.
Right.
I think that Europe will do a deal and we'll be as almost like a special partner to Europe.
Yeah.
And I think it'll benefit us. And then you see people like Goldman Sachs and people like that. Oh, no. Yeah. Because, let's be honest, are they going to be more prosperous in what? In Spain or London? And is it backroom staff, isn't it?
Yeah. Who knows? I don't know. But yeah. Morgan Stanley moving to Dublin, I thought that was quite... That was knee-jerk, wasn't it? No, that would have been in the plan for months, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And also the thing, right, that it is a bit worrying, leaving the majority of the public... to vote on an important situation like this, where most of them can't get the spelling on their tattoos correct, and you're asking them to weigh up the facts, decipher the myths between the facts on the EU. It is quite scary. And I do feel, a lot of people may have voted on the immigration card and racism, which is an ugly part of Britain. And I think
and it's not going to change massively.
I know people have to be shown the facts that we've thrived through immigration, our country.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's not going to change, no. I mean,
not massively, is it? We'll control our borders. And then we'll still let people in, and people will still get in, and it's not really a reason to vote. It really isn't, but there we are.
No, it isn't. And I think, our economy shows we benefited from immigrants. Let's be honest, we're all immigrants, pretty much, If you go back far enough, we all come from somewhere. And so it's a ridiculous concept. And I just think, genuinely, when I hear people being sort of racist, and I think, hang on a sec. Did you choose to be born in this country?
Yeah.
You had no choice at all. You were very lucky to be born in this country.
I know.
You could be born in Syria or in a drought-stricken country somewhere, You're very lucky to have been born in this country. So try and help others who are less fortunate than you. And that's what I genuinely think, What's wrong with people?
I am tempted to move to Scotland, though.
take part in another referendum.
Yeah, I just love referendums.
So see if you can get on the right side for once.
Yeah, try and get with
it. Oh, I did it wrong again. Then go Ireland then. I put it in. I put it out. Oh.
But how crazy is that going to be if Scotland then, they probably will now have a referendum and vote to rejoin the EU, or how is that going to work? I don't know.
Now, I don't want to say I told you so, right?
Right. Did you though? You probably did you?
But have I been saying for a long time? About what have I been saying for a long time about stocks and shares?
I don't know. I don't listen anymore.
Let's go back to portfolio management.
All right, okay.
What have I said for a long time?
Risk.
Yeah, but didn't I say in April I put a lot of reminders in my calendar saying sell. And, I just think throughout the year there will be opportunities where the market has a sell-off. And a lot of times, normally it's not flagged up like this one was. We had a date there for months in advance saying, look, big red flag here, guys. A huge amount of uncertainty happening.
Yeah, I'm quite proud of myself selling a little chunk of Lloyds Bank shares I had on Thursday.
Yes, where did they got a bit hammered, didn't they?
They got hammered. So, I'd like to have sold more. I only sold about...
Sell at.
Oh, sell at, 72p.
Oh, that's good. So they're at 54 this morning, weren't they?
Yeah. That's nice. But I think the banks will recover. Mark Carney came out and gave a very good reassuring speech, so that was nice. And I think the banks will recover. House builders took a bit more of a hammering, and they might take a little bit longer to recover, don't you think?
Well, listen, as an investor, right, this is these are opportune times. It's like if you're going for the long term here, then I'm not going to jump all in. In fact, a friend texted me today and say... good time to get into shares.
Yeah.
And this is a friend I've been banging on the shares about, and he's kept saying, oh, boring. And finally said, I said, yeah, but listen. He said, okay. I said, listen, set up an ISA account, stocks and shares ISA account. You could put 15,240 quid into it this year. Next year, I think, goes up to 16,000. And, tax-free. The amount of money you make off that is tax-free. And I said, listen, I wouldn't go over 10% in any one stock at the minute, for now. And I would invest... with the intention or with the expectation that the stock is going to fall. So you get it, you can buy some more at another price, a bit lower. And I think, because, no one, it's no point trying to be a trader. And I think if you're investing with a time frame of 5 to 10 years, it's times like these that Warren Buffett is rubbing his hands,
Yes.
And he starts, and this is going to be around for a while. There's opportunity here.
But his volatility in the short term is going to be a bit bonkers, isn't it?
I think months. Mm. Surely, but 3 months of David Cameron now,
yeah.
And then we have the next think of it. Then you may have Scotland going for a referendum. And then we will have a natural knock to the economy, you know, because the amount of capital outflow that's happened before this referendum, it's like ridiculous, you know, it hasn't been seen since the financial crash anyway. So you'll have a recovery from that. So I think we may dip into recession, you know, technical recession.
But then a lot of the little stocks that we like to talk about here on this podcast, such as Keffi Minerals, who are doing well because gold is obviously a safe haven, isn't it?
Always believe in your soul.
That's it. Here we go. Yeah.
You got the power to know.
No, you're indestructible. Yeah, that's but those sort of little... Because they're sort of foreign interests, really. Okay, sure, they're listed in London, but and obviously Asia Met is Indonesian and all the rest of it. Why will they necessarily be here?
Well, you know what's really odd is that Coves, for example, was down, you know, with the rest of, you know, on the Friday, the market opened up 8.5% down. I've not seen that before in my life, I don't think. 9%, I think 10% is a crash, you know?
Yes.
And I thought, wow. And then David Cameron came out and resigned, and it came back up.
See you, Dave.
Yeah, we missed you next, Dave. But I think Mark Carney came out and did a stabilizer. But now, Coves was up, you know, 5-6% on Friday. Keffi was up 10-11%, double figures. But also, do you know what I did? I said I put limit orders in, and one of my three pension stocks, AstraZeneca, Royal Dutch Shell, Standard Chartered. So I put a chunk into AstraZeneca at about 39, and another 5 or 10% down, I think, or 5% below that, a bigger chunk. I put a limit order in on the Friday morning, opened up, went down, filled the order, went back above my initial buy, £39, so it was like about 40 odd quid. So I not only made money on the lower amount, on the upper amount as well. That's what I'm saying. Steve said he likes to do it manually. That's what I'm saying. Don't do it manually.
Oh, I've changed my opinions on all the manual stuff now. I've had a good talk to myself, and I'm going to do the less risky option and do it automatically.
Because you know what? When everyone is diving in on a Friday morning, selling, you've made your plans way ahead, expecting the share price to fall at some point, and fill that order, and it did. Like I said, I wasn't. When I first bought AstraZeneca at 39 quid, I was underwater, only a couple of percent, for about a month, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why, for some reason, but it went down, filled that 37 quid. What did it go down to today? Hang on, let me just check. 37 quid, it went down to fill that order, came all the way back up beyond 40, and I thought, I've no idea why. But I mean, that's a good example of you know, having a plan, sticking to it, letting the markets and emotion go crazy for a second. And, I just think always have a plan, you know. And even if you're a trader, I mean, that's what they say. If you don't have a plan, you lose money. If you basically work off emotions, you get caught up in it and you lose money. And so, you know.
But going back to my question, with these businesses that we're talking about that very much operate in foreign lands, why necessarily will they be affected by the volatility that...
Well, I mean, they won't. All the fall is about, essentially, is liquidity, you know?
Yes.
And so people are worried that people are selling. So it's like a trickle-down effect. So, I mean, you know, more people are selling than buying. That's all it is. So you know, market makers are marking down, trying to get, stocks.
Yes, and
stock.
Sentiment is...
Yeah, sentiment is... So yes. These are the times when you can pile in, you know? And I tell you what I do like, lads. I think you should look into this. Talking about penny stocks that have potential. I mentioned this, and Doc has mentioned this as well, Life.
I've seen it. But then, so they've taken a bit of a hammering. Talk me through what that's all about.
Right, Life, right, is...
talk me through Life.
Excellent little ticker code symbol, isn't it? Mm. And, I mean, you may think they're superficial, but when you're in the penny stock arena, it's as much about noise as anything else. It's one of the factors that help a share price rise, of course, is noise. It doesn't take a lot to get a small stock going if there's been no volume there, and especially if you have low shares in issue. So when you have a ticker code that's instantly rememberable, and sometimes I have to type in tickers, I keep forgetting some, but you've got something like Life, and you think, that's so easy to remember. But this was originally the Copper Development Company, but like with all commodities, when the commodities hit the skids, then they saw this no longer as a viable vehicle. So they sold off their copper asset. Jim Mellon come on board. Now, if you're not aware of Jim Mellon, all I'm saying is look him up. He's one of the, he does feature in the rich list, He's worth about 800 million, something ridiculous. And But he's well known for, you know, taking these shells and reversing biotech companies into them. Now, this is a company, right, that is showing, as I'm looking now, can't be right, as naught market cap. Oh, no, it's 0.9. 0.9 of a million, that's all it is. It's not even a million. Now, they sold an asset for $1.5 million at the end of last year. And so they're not burning, not paying each... I mean, Jim Mellon doesn't need a wage, and the two other guys with him don't need wages too much. They're taking nominal sums as wages, I think about $40,000, $50,000 a year, you know, all between them. And so look at this. It's got a market cap of a million, right? If he reverses a biotech, you know, company into it, it'll go through the roof because it's got a bit of cash and it's got Jim Mellon on board. And I'm just thinking, there's not a lot... Of course, they have a time limit. When you do these things, I think it's 12 months before... You delisted and have to reapply again. So I think this ends towards the end of the year. So they've got, say, 6 months left.
Mm.
But this is a guy with a good reputation, with, you know, good connections to finances and good connections to, you know, to companies. And I think, you know what? This is the kind of thing. It's like less than a million. It's the kind of thing that could turn back, you know? And if the right, you know, if the right vehicle is reversed into it.
Mm.
With his backing. I mean, so you're literally paying there, you know, the cost of having a listing and a brokerage and all that, that's worth about $500,000. So it's valued at pretty much, you know, nothing.
But as it stands, the plans aren't known.
No plans at all. That's right. A risky date. No. I mean, right. But all right. You, no, okay. But what you're doing? This, and I found this odd when I first heard of people doing well investing cash shells. Yeah, a lot can go wrong.
Yeah.
But then you've got to look at the people who are doing them.
Yeah.
And you've got to, it's almost like, you know, looking at a stable of horses and look who the trainer is. And if you get the trainer's what's his name? JP McMurphy or whatever, was one of the good guys.
McManus.
McManus, that's it.
Mm.
And McMurphy and McManus, those guys there.
McMurphy.
McMurphy, McManus, McMahon.
McDonald.
And McDonald.
Yeah.
And
McEnroe.
And Mac the Hoople. And if, you know,
yeah.
But you know, what I'm saying is, if you've got, you know, a good reputation and you're Mr. Moneybags, you think, you know, and it's for him, it's not about money. No. It's about business. He loves doing business. It's about reputation. So basically, you're investing in him. You know?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, don't put your house on it, you know?
No.
Do your own research.
Yes.
But here's a little thing that could do quite well. It's had a bit of a hammering, and it did have a bit of interest recently. What annoyed me, I had a gut feeling about this. Someone mentioned him to me a while back, and when it was announced, when the initial cash sale was announced, let's look at the chart. I'll scroll up a bit. Life is life. La, 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 la. Right, so yeah, so it was down at 1 pence.
Yeah.
There was nothing happening, and there was rumours of a shell happening, and then nothing happened. And then back in November, mm-hmm. It was announced Jim Mellon came out. It went from 2 pence up to 5 pence, right?
Yeah.
And now it's back at 2.5 pence.
Yeah.
It's a million market cap.
Honestly, but nothing's changed, but then that's the point.
Nothing's changed, but yeah, no news. So what we've had is news drought.
Yeah.
You know, I put a when it spiked up there, I did put price alerts on it. Again, automation, price alerts. I also put a volume alert on it. There's no volume in this stock at all.
Okay.
And then last week, before last, it tripped out my volume. It just, not a lot of volume, 100,000 shares. And I thought, wow. So I thought, and it was a Friday, the week before, two Fridays. And I thought, should I just have a dabble here and buy some? And I didn't. And then that Friday, Thursday, it went up like crazy, like 20, or not crazy, 28%. I thought, wow. And then on the Monday, I just got it straight in, and so I'm up, and I bought a bit more, and bought a bit more. So I'm still up, but I'm less up than I was because I bought a bit more, scaled in.
Looking at that, looking at the chart, it's kind of around the 2.1 is a sort of support level. Is that what I?
Yeah. So there we are. So what you do there?
Yeah.
Is a scaling process. You know, you realize, you say, right, I'm going to allocate this amount of money to it. You know, no more than, you know, I'd say even 5% here because it's quite risky. Maybe depends how big the portfolio is, or 10% maximum to this. And I put the first chunk in, which is like representing 2% of my portfolio at this level. Then I'm fully prepared for it to go down a bit further. You know, if it does come down another 5%, I'll put another chunk in. And then, you know, you'd have another limit below that. And so three chunks. And then, you know, so you know full well you're never going to go over a certain percentage exposure in your portfolio.
Yeah. Okay.
interesting. Yes.
Listen, there's still lots of money to be made in the old small cap arena, definitely, because these companies work off news flow sentiment and all that. So you get a whiff of good news flow coming out, and they'll fly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And this is the time to look around now. Is start set up price alerts, and I'm looking around thinking, yeah, that's cheap, and. What else am I looking at? I quite like, I've mentioned Canadian Overseas Petroleum, Asian Mets again, now under 2p, there will be news flow there, But like I say, every now and again, you can look at, it's something called the Stock Markets Almanac, isn't it? It tells you what time of the year you're likely to, or which month of the year the worst for the stock market.
Yeah.
And, and you think you should ease up sometimes, have a bit of cash. But I always now, I quite like having a bit of cash, just in case. Now, I had six order limits triggered on Friday.
Right.
Just topping up on existing shares,
Yeah.
A couple of them paid off and bounced off. Like, I had one on Coves as well. Come down, filled, went to the negative territory. What did it go down to, Coves? It went down to 47p, right, on Friday.
Yeah.
I bought some in limit order. Went back up to 60p.
Dow, you're like Warren Buffett.
Yeah, I don't think Warren Buffett does that.
Warren Buffett
just says, stock market's down yet, buy 5 billion.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. How much did he just put into Apple? I read that the other day. That's incredible. He bought like a billion dollars.
Yeah, $1 billion or everything, wasn't it? Yeah, just about $1 billion, isn't it? That is nuts, isn't it?
Yeah.
You must think that, again, that's the kind of thing, going back, obviously Jim Mellon's not in his league, but he's a rich man. He doesn't need the money, All he wants to do is be the best investor in the world. And that's reputation, isn't it,
Yeah.
And he wants to continue getting winners. And, So have you done any buying or selling? What have you done? You sold some Lloyds, Peter, Steve. Have you been doing stuff manually? What have you done? Anything? Keep it clean.
It's Friday, as we're recording this, obviously. I'm looking at Royal Dutch Shell, and they've just spiked at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, which I'm just looking at going, we could trim some off there, actually.
Yeah, I quite like to get the pretense that this is this weekend podcast here.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Steve's blown
Look at Royal Dutch Shell. It's at high, 6 months high. It's at £19.16. I'll go through the prices now. AstraZeneca, 4.6p. Look at that. FTSE is now, as we speak, only 2% down.
Yeah.
It was 9.5% down. Or no, 8.5% down. It's rebounding.
We're going to be okay, guys. We're
going to
be okay.
Of course it's going to be okay. The worst news is out now. It's of all time, the worst news is going to be out now. Of course it is. And you get people like Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan piling on. So we told you we'd do. They had that plan all along. Don't you worry about that. Oh, we told you we're leaving. That's it now. We're out. Just big ego imbeciles there. And the FTSE 250 is down 6.7%, even though the FTSE is down. The reason why the FTSE isn't being hit, you know why this is?
No.
The FTSE is made up, essentially, of international companies,
Yes.
So a cheap pound for them would be good, because they do lots of work abroad. They get paid in dollars and stuff like that, paid in euros, paid in currencies stronger than the pound.
Yeah.
So, this is not a bad thing for them, So if you see... and of course AstraZeneca, a lot of its international trade there, and Royal Dutch Shell, so they're doing quite well, so it's not a bad thing. And I look at that, we're now at 6200. We've had the worst news out, and we're at 6200 on the FTSE. That I honestly believed it would be down to 5300 or something. I did
this time next year, Rodney.
Yeah,
we'll be millionaires. Yeah, good. Lloyds are still down 20%.
Yeah, but you know where that is, isn't you? Really?
Yeah, I know.
Why?
Because they're very exposed to the whole Brexit thing.
Yeah, because banks are a play on the economy as a whole, really,
Yeah.
And people are seeing that we may have, because of this, disruption in trade and all that stuff, then they'll take a brunt of it, because they are, like I said, if I go back to, because obviously if you own a retailer like Tesco's, you're only, exposed to the retail market, essentially. I suppose they're a bank now, don't they? But, if you own a shop or something, then... But if you own a bank, of course, your bank loans to all different sectors of the market, so you are fully exposed to the rest of the entire market.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at Standard Chartered, flat now, at 578, because they're not in this country, in the Far East.
Yeah.
That's fine. So if you want a bank, get that one. That's been doing well. Have you seen Standard Chartered? 3 pension stocks, they're doing well, guys. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you buy back in there?
I bought in a couple of times, about four 60 and right. 470. Mm. Yeah.
Now up to 570 odd now. Yeah.
Yeah.
this podcast has turned into Justin talking about how well he's doing.
To a certain extent, not boasting. I'm just, what I'm saying here is, it's almost like you just in any walk of life, like Stephen there,
Yeah.
When he's thinking about going to the toilet, he understands he has to take his trousers and pants down. You've got a plan there.
Not all the time.
in fact, more often than not, he forgets. Oh, I'm going to change again.
That's not guaranteed.
But Steve, when you go to a job, filming some private private clients,
taking their pants off.
You've got to take the right equipment with you, haven't you? Like I said, Steve, we need some lube. Steve, Jeff needs some lube.
For an extra £10, I'll put it on, says Steve.
No, but you understand, you've got a plan, but the thing is, people jump in the stock market and think, oh, I make money, and so chuck a load in one stock. And it is a trade, isn't it? You learn, yeah?
Yes.
And like I said, when's the last time you made the most money, Pete? Was after the last recession.
Yes.
This opportunity, I believe, will be coming up again soon.
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, I know. But listen, I've had a friend have a go at me on text.
Oh.
Blaming me for voting out.
Yeah.
Saying, my business has been spoiled by this. And I thought, why is that my fault? I didn't want to harm you personally.
Blimey. What business? What type of business?
It's engineering kind of thing.
Right.
And apparently customers rely on EU aid.
Yes.
Mm,
yes,
I know that is.
Yeah,
I know who that is as well.
And I didn't even know that. I didn't know his customers were on EU aid, and that wasn't the reason why I voted. And I said, "Well, whoa, why have you been going to me? I didn't invent the referendum. I just voted what I thought was right. And if I could have helped you, I would have. I didn't realise that.
I saw a stat or sort of a graph thing showing where large, big proportions of people voted for Leave were actually correlated with those areas that get the most amount of EU grants and support. So you're like, wow, these people did not know what they were voting for. And that's kind of worrying. But anyway, there we are. Good luck to them.
Yeah, so I know that's a bit sad, isn't it?
Mm.
It's like scratch cards are
taxing the poor.
Taxing the poor, yeah, essentially.
Exactly.
And they're buying hope, aren't they?
Yeah. Anyway, we could go on all day talking about it, but there we are. Let's see how it all pans out.
Okay. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, have a nice weekend. What are your plans for this weekend?
Hide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just hide under a blanket.
Are you having a Remain party?
Yes. I'm remaining in.
I bet there'll be some out supporters smashing out Diana Ross over the weekend in their parties.
Absolutely. I'm going to invent a whole country. It's going to be called Country.
That's been invented, Pete.
I'm going to invent a whole country and I'm going to call it Romania.
Yeah, do you know what? He saved the best to last, didn't he?
There we go.
We can't top that one. So good night. You're all week. We'll see you next week anyway.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust
from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.